Hello.
Hi.
It's been a while again.
As usual.
Yeah. We've had a few things going on.
Yeah, you moved.
Yeah, that's the big news here. No, the big news is that you had a baby.
I did.
You had a 10-pound baby at home.
I did. I don't know if I recommend it or not.
Still, with no drugs.
Still thinking about it. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he's fantastically amazing.
He's pretty great.
So cute.
So we've been a little busy.
Yeah, we've had some things going on.
Yeah, but we're back and we're going to get it together.
Right. And so, it's like that time to start thinking about homeschooling.
Yeah,
right?
And there's a lot of new homeschoolers.
Right.
So
thanks to something that we won't mention because it's everywhere.
The unspoken. So what we were thinking is doing 10 homeschooling mistakes that we've made. So hopefully some new homeschoolers and maybe other ones can learn from them and just not make our same mistakes.
Right. They'll just make other mistakes, but everybody can help you avoid these ones.
Yes. Everyone's going to make mistakes.
And we've made way more than these 10.
Exactly. We could write books on it. So. Yes. So number one.
This is kind of something that we both did, but 2 full days. Yeah. Of homeschooling. So you want to tell us what that means?
Yeah. So we've tried, I think we're both in the same mindset where it's like, we'd rather like jam pack 2 full days of lessons so that we can have the rest of the week to go on adventures or whatever it may be.
Yes. We like to play.
Yes, we do. It's one of my favorite parts about homeschooling.
Right. Is we just get to do so many fun things.
Yes. So ideally, it's like, why not jam pack 2 full days, get all your lessons knocked out, and then, have the rest of the week to
do whatever you want.
Jinx. Right. So I think ideally that would be great, but for our kids, it does not work.
No, I don't think any of our kids really like that. It was those like 2 full days were just like too much, too overwhelming.
Yeah. And then lots of meltdowns throughout the day. And I just think it's easy to forget that they are still little. And even with breaks, having full days of lessons doesn't go very well.
Yeah. And I noticed that when we were doing that, there would just be a lot of resistance on those days because we'd been, so used to playing and doing all the fun things that when it came time to like get serious and do, a few more rigorous things, that there would be a lot of resistance and we weren't in the routine of it. So,
yeah. So I think what we're going to try doing is just doing a little bit every day.
Yeah.
And then kind of hoping that goes over better.
Yeah, let's hope. Of course, we could be saying like that was a nightmare and disaster next year as well. So, but we can only try.
So number 2, pushing too hard on reading.
Yeah, this was really me
all the time.
No, I feel like you've done such a better job.
No,
but I think like when it's taking longer than we hope, or than we see others doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a tendency to panic and to just really like, okay, we got to get this done.
Yeah.
And I noticed like every single time that I would really like dig in with reading and we would focus on it, then we would both end up being so frustrated.
Yeah.
So when I finally like backed off and we just like were reading aloud more and doing audiobooks and the things that he enjoys so much, like the reading came more naturally. And I wish that I wouldn't have had those times where I was like, we have to do this no matter what.
Yeah. It's hard when there's like a standard, at least like in public schools and stuff like that, where it's like they should be reading by this age and have this type of vocabulary by this age. So it's easy to fall into that mindset. But
yeah, I feel like that's kind of ingrained in us because we both, we're part of the public school system.
Right.
So it's easy to fall back into those guidelines.
Definitely. All right. Number 3 is fighting graphic novels and comics.
Yeah. And this is my big mistake. I really wanted to like focus on those classic books.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really felt like he liked them in audiobook version and the read aloud. So I was hoping that those were the kind of books he would be drawn to
right.
for his own reading time. But I would find him at the library, like in the comic book section, and, you know, liking those kinds of books that Charlotte Mason would describe as twaddle. So I really resisted for a long time, and he wasn't really enjoying that, that reading time on his own. It felt more forced. But as soon as, like, I let him pick what he wanted, obviously with a little bit of, you know, discretion on my part.
Right.
He loves his time now to read to himself. And when we get back from the library, he's curled up with books for, like, over an hour or so.
Yeah. It's easy to, like, not want to do those because I'm always like, oh, my goodness, if we keep doing, like, Captain Underpants right. and stuff, but then
is
it's
this
like,
what he's gonna be reading? Is this when all he's we're gonna
exactly? But I think just ingraining like a love for reading in the beginning,
yeah,
helps. I
don't
absolutely,
know.
Yeah.
So that's been a big thing that I've had to overcome.
Yes, number four, feeling like a failure when plans don't work out.
Yeah,
we're planners.
We really like to plan.
Yeah,
planning makes me so happy.
Yeah, our other sister always makes fun of us because she's like, oh, let's hear all the plans that we have whenever she comes to visit.
Yeah, and she is the opposite of a yeah. planner. So we're always
she's
like,
great at going.
Wanna
with the flow.
Like, yeah, she's so spontaneous. We're like, do you want to make some plans while you're here? Do you?
I know. We're probably super annoying.
Yeah, I'm sure we are.
Yeah, so it's easy to make really big, extravagant plans. And then when, of course, they don't work out because you can't.
Because they're big and extravagant.
Yeah. Then, of course, when they don't work out, it's can feel like a big bummer.
Yeah. You really feel like, oh my gosh, like I didn't get all this done.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've just kind of learned that I still can make the plans mm-hmm. and then I can check back in with them and I can use them as like a guide. But I already know going in, I'm not going to finish the plans.
Right.
They're not to be finished. They're just a guideline. And it doesn't mean that I'm doing a bad job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number five, not preserving the relationship first.
Yeah. This is hard to put on those like two different hats, like yeah. the mother and the teacher. You
yeah,
know?
Definitely.
It's striking like a balance between the two has always been pretty tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I struggle with that one a lot too, because obviously being a mom comes first
right.
and then a teacher second, but sometimes when you're in like a teacher mode, it's easy to go yeah. a little hard.
Yeah, to teach all the time when really they just need their mom. They just yeah. want to like, you know, play with you and have fun. They don't want everything to be a lesson or a learning opportunity.
Right.
So I kind of have to.
I'm known to do that a lot. Yeah. I'm like, so what did we learn here?
Like, and they're like, mom, we're just playing with creatures in the forest. Who cares?
Exactly. Okay, number six, not getting outside enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
we've had phases, like in and out of yeah. phases. I think we always know that getting outside is the best thing for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes we are reluctant to do so. Like, is this really homeschooling? Do we need to be home more so we can do more lessons?
Yeah, it's easy to fall into the trap of, like, we are learning more when we're sitting at home doing, you know, lessons, getting off the
book
books
work.
And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But I don't know. I've read so many things that really make me feel like we are learning just as much by being outside and doing things outside. And I notice a huge difference on days when we go outside and then come back
yeah.
to book work. And then
I just think kids
there's more
need
attention
that.
For
I
it.
I think we need that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
definitely.
Good to break up your day, even if you just get outside for a little while and get in nature. And I don't know. I think it helps everybody.
Agreed. All right, number seven, comparing our homeschooling to others' homeschool journey.
Yeah, I think this is easy to fall into too.
Yeah, I think things like Instagram can be like such a great resource. I find yeah. like lots of great book recommendations mm-hmm. and things like that on Instagram, but it's also super easy to see these other homeschoolers and seeing how they do it and how they thrive doing certain things that haven't worked for us
yeah.
and falling into like the trap of like, what am I doing wrong? Why
right.
is mine
Why are
not
they
going
accomplishing
this?
So much? And how
exactly.
are they like so good at this?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's hard. So I think it's like, I don't know. I like to take really long breaks from social media and stuff and
yeah.
then just kind of like take that time to be like, okay, what do I do well? Like, was, you know, check in with yourself, because yeah, it's easy to get caught up in that world of comparing.
Definitely. So number 8 is ditching the audiobook later than you should have, or a curriculum too.
Yeah, that's true. Curriculum also.
Yeah. We did this a lot. I feel like once I start like a curriculum, and even if like it starts out well and then eventually it's no longer working, I'm like, but it did work.
Right, and right.
Letting it go. Like, what was it? The Life of Fred, we did that one for math. That was a hard one. Like, we had gotten like halfway through and I'm like, let's just finish it. Like, the idea of putting it away before finishing it like seemed painful to me, but he was miserable. I was miserable. And so I think being able to let go of things that aren't working and being okay with it can be something.
Yeah, so freeing. Yeah. I know we've had several like read alouds that like just never really caught, and we would both be, you know, hesitant to read it. Like, we weren't racing to the book at the end of the day or whatever. And I wish I would have just moved on. Like, there's so many books out there. There's so many opportunities to, you know, enjoy that book experience, and then to waste it on something that we're both not into. But it is so hard. Like, you start something, you want to finish it. It's just kind of like human nature.
My son's like that too. Like, he was miserable with this one read aloud that we had started, and I just kept thinking like, it's going to get better. And I could tell he was not into it either, but he just kept saying, we have to finish it. We have to finish it. I'm like, okay, you don't have to finish it.
Hard to get past that like mind frame.
So let go of things that are not working, and you can always try again later.
Yeah. There's been a couple of things where we've ditched it, and then, you know, we've come back to it like a couple of years later, and it's been great. So
We have a couple books we tried like a few years ago, and it just was above maybe their reading comprehension. They just weren't getting into it. So it's definitely books that I know we'll want to try again later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number 9, comparing my child to other children.
Yeah. This one's like hard for me because, you know, every kid is like learning and growing like at their own pace. And like some areas they're, you know, excelling at, but maybe others are a little bit further behind. So it's hard like to not like look at yourself. I mean, you're never like, oh no, something's wrong with my kiddo, but you're just like, am I doing something wrong? Have I failed him in some way? Like, should he be doing this like the other kids his age? I just think it's really easy to fall into that trap.
Yeah.
But you're not, you know, you're not living day in and day out with those kids that you're just getting a glimpse of. So who's to say, you know, how it's really going, and really just letting your kid go at their own pace, you know, and learning things as they go. Like, that's just so freeing for them. Like, as soon as I back off and just let him be himself, like, we both are much happier.
Yeah. I think that kind of goes along with like the whole pushing reading things. I think it's easy to compare like where other kids are at and being like, wait, my kid should be at this level too. But I think just understanding that kids learn and grow and have all different types of, you know,
it all works out
yes,
in the end. And
exactly.
They might be, you know, there's something else is developing and they're working on something else. Whereas, you know, that other child is, you know, developed in another way. So it all just happens in its own way and time.
Exactly. All right. Number 10, too many activities, too many co-ops. That's more you did. Yeah. Too many co-ops.
You're good about like setting your boundaries. Like, oh, no, that's more than we can handle.
I mean, sometimes.
I think having an only child, I was just like eager to get him into so many activities so he would have so many opportunities to be around other kids, because I'm always in the guilt of like, oh my gosh, he just has me, you know, to hang out with. That's so boring for him. So I like signed up for everything this maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, you were doing like sports too.
Yeah, sports, a couple of co-ops.
My goodness, that makes me anxious just thinking of trying to do all of that.
Honestly, I was like, okay, like I know this is going to be hard for me, introvert that I am, but he's going to love it. Like, this is going to be so good for him. And it really wasn't. Like, he was reluctant to go to like a lot of the things he was wanting to be, you know, like at home, which is so not like him.
Yeah, I was
he
always say, wants that to go. That does not sound like him. Yeah.
Yeah. So I noticed that you know, he was even struggling with it. So there is a point where you can do too many things.
Right.
Even with a social guy like mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think like with like co-ops, it's always like you hear like this is a really great co-op and then it gets exciting and I'm like, oh, we should do it too. And yeah. then it becomes too much.
Yeah.
So I think being selective as to where you spend your time and not
right
getting super overwhelmed. I don't know.
Yeah. I just think like you have to kind of like learn as you go, but just, okay, this works. This like is just the right amount and we don't need to add anything, even if it sounds so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm sure we're going to love it. Like sometimes you just have to be okay and let those things pass.
Yeah.
There's always like the next year or you'll find, you know, find something.
Yeah. Being okay with saying no to things.
Yeah. That's always been hard for me, yeah. but I'm learning.
Yeah, you are. So there's one more question.
Oh my goodness. I think I know what it is.
What are you obsessing over?
I love that we originally were like, oh no, we're not going to say obsessing over.
Because
that's a little extreme. And now here we are. Like,
we've totally doubled down on obsessing.
Obsessing.
Well, yeah, I always say that though. From telling you about something, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to be obsessed with this.
It's true.
Yeah. A little dramatic.
A little dramatic. Like not all of the things I pick fall into the obsessing category. Right. But we just watched The One and Only Ivan on Disney Plus. We had read the book a few years ago and loved it. So I thought the movie was really, really good. And it worked out perfectly because a couple of months ago, we got the sequel, which is The One and Only Bob.
Oh, I didn't know there was a sequel.
Yeah, there is. It's really cute. It's about the dog. And my kiddo didn't really remember too much about The One and Only Ivan, so it was kind of cool to, like, remember it through the movie. I mean, not just him. I didn't really remember it either. But it's neat because while we're in the middle of The One and Only Bob, it has a lot of, you know, Bob in it. So we were really excited to have that happen.
It's a good one.
What about you? What are you obsessing over? You're, like, in the newborn baby world, so you are,
this
like –
this is weird for me.
I'm a product queen right now.
Yeah. I'm not used to having a newborn, but there's two. So the Snoo is kind of fantastic.
Yeah, you love this thing.
It's by Dr. Karp. Hopefully I said that right.
Yeah, he's the doctor who's all about the –
taking care – no, I just botched that. But he does the Happiest Baby.
That's right.
Yeah, and he made this bassinet, and it's – kind of fantastic. It like shakes your baby. That sounds terrible.
That sounds awful.
But it like rocks them to sleep. But it's like in the same way that he talks about doing like the five S's and stuff. So I mean, nights when he's not sleeping well, it's helped a ton. So highly recommend it.
Yeah, anything to get you some more sleep, right?
Like even if it's like 10 extra minutes at night, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
The other one I was gonna say too is if you do have a newborn, there's this lady, and her name is Kara, and she is on Instagram too, but it's called Taking Kara Babies. And she does like e-courses, and it's all about like how to help your baby sleep and all of that type of stuff. And she gives some great tips and tricks, and I think she's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really it. That's all I can come up with.
Well, that sounds great.
All right. So until next week.
Hopefully it won't be, another couple of months.
I know. We're getting it together.